the resurrection, a reaping of the harvest, and then the Battle of Armageddon and the judgment seat. And I personally, we'll get into this in the future, but I think this, between this event and this event, is where I believe the resurrection of the just and the unjust is, because I think John chapter 5 says within an hour. So I believe, think that between these two events, it is literally within an hour. So I'll say this too. How long does it take for Christ to appear in the clouds and call us up in heaven? Between you and I, right? How long does it take to resurrect people?
Moment
when you're an eye,
right?
How long does it take for him to slaughter the unbelieving world in Armageddon?
Well, about the same time it took him to wipe out 5,000 in the valley when they stood against Moses.
So we still have 23 hours and like 57 seconds, 57 minutes left for him to accomplish the day of the Lord. And I believe the judgment that everybody stands before him in their resurrected body. But I don't know how, I'm going to throw this to you guys. Either we can keep moving forward and study the judgment of the judgment seat, or we could expose more lies in here.
Well, let's look at truth.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because these guys here, like, that one says there's five judgments.
Right.
That there's five. That there was one at the cross, and then there is the judgment seat of Christ, that we are raptured up into heaven. We are given our rewards for how good we were on the earth, right? That's the Bema seat, they call. And then there's another judgment of the Jews when he comes. And then there's another judgment of the sheep and goat nations, how he divides them, and then we have the great retro judgment. I don't think the Bible teaches that. I think the Bible teaches one general judgment for the world on whether you accepted Christ or rejected him. And then there's a great retro judgment for the unbeliever that is going to be according to their...
For the unbeliever, for their works.
Yeah.
And so they're going to be judges.
But that's for the unbeliever. Right. The great right throne judgment is for the unbeliever. We know it comes at the end. So, okay, I think we're kind of, and then another thing, too, is that these people, I just want to give you a quote that the dispensation will say. They really, I mean, this is borderline blasphemy stuff that they say. And I don't know, John, you got your phone? Does anybody have a phone where you can look up words?
Yeah.
Okay, so these are the rewards that they tell you you're going to get when you're at the Bema seat. When we're
the crowns?
Yeah, the crowns.
The crowns, yeah.
When you study these crowns, it's all the same crown. And we get it at the end. So here's what they say, the incorruptible crown. So, and then he gives a verse. If it's incorruptible, what are you going to be when you're resurrected?
Well, incorruptible, that's what your place is supposed to take on, is incorruption.
So will you please look up the victor's crown in your Bible and tell me where that is?
Well,
yeah. Well. Now you're not going to find it. Because you're making things up now.
Yes.
Okay? And I do. I don't even want to. So then they say the next crown is the martyr's crown. Can you look up martyr's crown? Yeah, find it. And then the crown of glory is the elder's crown, and it is for people like pastor, because he's a pastor. So he is a crown.
And special.
Yeah, he's special.
Well, teachers fall under that too, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So you can look up the elder's crown in your Bible. Right?
Yeah.
You see what's going on here today? They just make things up. So then there's a crown of righteousness for those that love his appearing. I mean, is there a crown which one of us aren't going to love his appearing? And then there's a crown of rejoicing. That's the soul winner's crown. Because Amanda got to more people than I did. We're all going to stand before Christ when we get raptured up into heaven, and God is going to take me, Amanda, and Dave, and he's going to go to Amanda. Now, you get all these, Amanda, because you're better than Tom. And Dave, you're going to get this mouth, but you're not as good as Amanda, but you're better than Tom. Does this make sense?
Well, it, the only thing I would say is all through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That,
exactly.
That's
the reward. Not reward. So I looked up the word rewards. It's never applied to the believer. It's mentioned five times in your Bible. In other words, the rewards were given. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to give rewards to Daniel. Daniel.
Yeah.
Rewards. He wanted to give him chains.
Yeah.
The word reward is for us. And what did God say? I am your exceedingly great reward.
Yeah.
That's the reward. Christ, in Christ alone. And so I just...
It's not about earning a headdress.
That's right.
Or a crown or a jewel.
I've got the victorious crown. Okay?
The victor.
It's in Proverbs 12, verse 4. A woman, a victorious woman, is a crown to her husband.
Oh, amen. Yeah.
Says, when she that maketh ashamed is a rottenness to his bones.
That's right.
In his bones, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have that. Yeah. So.
I'm glad I got strong bones.
So we were. So we're going to move on, but I just want to show you. Here's what they say. You're going to be judged according to your good works. Does that make sense, Alan? Are you going to be judged on your good works? On what you are, what you believe?
Well, if I'm being judged by my good works, then the good works get me to heaven.
We're in trouble.
They won't get you to heaven, but isn't there a scripture that talks about some will be hay, some will be wood, some will be...
You know what? I'm glad, because now I know we need to look at that. But that's the verse they use. Right? On your good works. And this is what they say. Since good works will receive rewards. They're telling you that your good works are going to receive rewards. So you know what?
Ephesians 2 is that you're not judged by your works.
That's right.
What does God say about your works?
And actually it doesn't change that. Your faith without works.
That's right.
It doesn't say that your works.
That's right. So John, what they're doing is saying you need to work first to get your rewards, but James says,
you're saved, and your works
show that you're saved.
Right. The reflection.
Yeah. So let's turn there real quick.
2:9, not of works, lest any man should boast.
That's right.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
That's right.
We walk in his good work, yep. Not our good work.
Yep. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
That's saying that what Christ did on the cross wasn't a
cross. Exactly, Paul. See, this is what makes me mad.
Yes.
This is heresy. This is heresy that you think that you're going to get some group of rewards or that you can work your way or that God looks at you. You know, even in every other version, turn to 1 Corinthians 4, but I want to read through Revelation 19. Where it talks about, I'll show you what they do. Revelation 19 says, let us speak glad, rejoice, and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. You know what every other version, Bible version says? It is the righteous works of the saints.
Oh,
it's righteous works. You don't have any righteous works.
Right.
Your righteous works is believing in Christ, but yet this says that we're finally clean because of the righteousness of the saints. How am I righteous? Through him. And him alone. Anything outside of him is blasphemy, and that's why, to me, this is heresy. So I'm going to show you what I mean, but this is what they say. 1 Corinthians 3:11. Well, let's just break it down nice and slowly. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work which sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward.
If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit dwelleth within you?
You forgot a couple of words there.
Go ahead.
Yet, 15, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
Right. Yeah, that's it. Okay. So, what are we talking about here? We're talking about verse 12, where he says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stuff. Those are earthly things. Those are your earthly world that you're building. A building made of wood, gold, silver. These are earthly things. These aren't heavenly things. I think people see, you know, gold, silver, and precious stones, they think they're heavenly. But these are earthly things. First of all, there's six things mentioned. Six is the number of man. These are the things of man. So God is going to burn these things up, even the gold, silver, precious stones, and the only thing left is what you believed in Christ. So everything is going to be burned. All this stuff that you built your world, and I did. I built my world on precious stones, foundation, right? Wood, hay, stubble. That's how I built my world in this world. That's how I built my life. God is going to burn that up. And the only thing left is what you were left with, which is Jesus Christ.
Whether right? You were in it or not, in Him or not.
That's right.
It has to do with motive, too.
That's right.
So if you do something great for Christ, but it was to honor yourself, it's counted as
heaven. Exactly. That's right. And then,
it's presupposing, all of these are presupposing you're building it on the foundation of Jesus Christ.
Right. But He is the foundation.
Right. Right, so he's talking about works that are built on the foundation of Jesus Christ.
Right.
For the believer.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, absolutely. But these things are earthly things that are going to be burned when He comes. These are earthly things that are going to be burned up when He comes.
Well, the Father's house is going to be burned. This building is going to be burned.
That's right.
All the self-righteousness that we set up here, oh, we're good because of Charity Bible, that's going to be burned up. It really leaves you naked and alone.
That's right.
Christ, right?
That's right.
At that judgment. Even if you do go ahead.
No, I'm just careful.
Yeah. Right. You'll stand alone before Christ. That's right. Your works on this, regardless if you build it. Those folks who came to Christ in Matthew chapter 7 said, Lord, Lord, they built the foundation. They built on what they thought was the foundation of Christ, but they didn't have a relationship.
I never knew you.
You workers of iniquity.
That's right.
Now, they did call Him Lord, Lord, and they prophesied in His name, and they did many great works in His name. They built upon that foundation of Christianity. The Catholic Church built upon the foundation of Christianity. Right? Then they veered off course.
That's right.
Their works, whether it be gold, silver, whatever they're building on is going to be burned up. Other false religions that really rely on your good works to get you to heaven. The JWs, the Mormons.
That's right.
The Baptists.
This is blasphemy and heresy to add anything to the work of besides the work of Christ. Like John said, what they're doing is they're adding to. They're saying, oh yeah, you're saved by His grace, but there's things you need to do to really get some rewards. When God tells us He is our reward. So let me 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So when He appears, yes, was I attempting to build Christ's kingdom with earthly things? Yes, but when He comes, He is going to burn these things up, and the only thing left is Him.
But I will say He's going to judge the talents.
Yes,
right. Talents.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, let's look at it. The reward is the same.
Right. Oh, yeah, okay. I agree.
Okay, let's look at Matthew 25.
Tending to the orphans and the widows and stuff like that. Right. Going to go get it. It's right to 25 also.
Okay. Okay, so, actually, do I want? Yeah. So listen to what it says, and listen to what the reward is.
What is the reward here? Matthew 25:14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. Okay, so who's the man traveling to a far country? Just start putting things together here. And who called his own servants and did deliver unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and unto another 2, and unto another 1. Every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. He gave these talents. He gave them. Okay? They didn't earn them. He gave them. Okay. Then he which had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made unto them 5 talents. And likewise he that had the 2 also had gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and dig in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Notice it called him his Lord. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that received the 5 talents came and bought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside thee 5 more. The Lord said unto him, here's the reward. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. There's the reward. Whatever position he is handing out is not the reward. The reward is enter into the joy of the Lord. Okay. So he that received the 2 talents said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. There's the same reward. It's the same reward as the guy that got the 5 talents. God gave them the 5 talents, and they both got to be ruler over many things. Okay, so listen to this guy. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, does this sound familiar? Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name? Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man. Remember, he called him a hard man, right? Reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not struck. I was afraid and went. He's afraid of man. I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth that thou is thine. And the Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that he didn't say anything about being a hard man. Right. He's not a hard man. He's a merciful, graceful man. Right? Thou knowest, but he does repeat what he says here. Thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not struck. How is Christ reaping where he sowed not? By us. Yeah. The 1 talent he gave this guy, the guy said, I don't want it. Yeah, I'm not witnessing to people, right? I'm not giving the gospel.
I'm not called for that.
Yeah, that's not my thing. Okay? Thou wouldst therefore put my money to the exchangers, and at my coming should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him that had the 10 talents. So here you go. People go, see, he got his. If the guy that got 10, he got 10 more. That's his reward. But no, look what it says. For unto everyone that shall be given, he shall have an abundance. But to him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast that unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We talked about this Tuesday. You know what the dispensationalists say? They say that guy's saved. They say he's saved. Wow. But he doesn't get the rewards that Paul Keller did because Paul Keller sent a Bible to his friend. Do you see what's going on here? This is heresy. This is blasphemy. And this is dispensationalism that's being taught. That's why this is such a heresy that it needs to be exposed. It, right? Everybody sees this. What is the reward, Wendy?
Well, funny you should say that, Mom. Because when I'm looking at 14 and 15, and if any man's work abide, this is when it's been revealed by fire, which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward. You're saying that's Jesus Christ.
Yes, absolutely.
Christ. And that man's word shall be burned. He shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is my choir. It does suggest that that person is not unsaved.
Yeah.
They're going to be saved. They're going to also be
saved. What are the losses that he's suffering? The earthly things that are being burned, the earthly things that were built upon this earth, those are the things that you're going to lose. You are going to lose your earthly things.
Well, you've already lost. If this is the judgment, we're all going to be with Jesus Christ. All of these people, whatever their work was, is going to be with Jesus Christ.
Right.
Some will, what they did on earth, I agree, that's earthly. What did you do on earth with the talents you were given? With the things that you were given by God, what did you do with them? I'm not saying that would save us. I'm saying that it seems, when I read this, to me, that it means something.
Go ahead, Jay.
I think the word abide is critical in verse 14. If any man's work abide, and remember, you've got to stay in Christ. You've got to abide in Christ.
That's right. Yeah.
So, you know, that's my take on it.
I agree.
Because you can be blotted out.
Absolutely. Yeah. So here's the point, Lenny. Verse 12, he's talking about earthly things. Those are earthly things. Verse 13, he's saying he's going to burn those things up that you built your world upon. You built your world upon these earthly things.
Every man's work.
That's right. So the only thing left, and the fire shall try every man's work with soreness. So he's trying people on how you build your kingdom, on earthly or the heavenly. He's going to burn up the earthly, and the only thing left is the heavenly. Right? So if any man's work abide, you build, he shall receive a reward. What's the reward? If you build your earthly kingdom on Christ, search those things which are in heaven, these things are going to be burned, and the only thing left is going to be you and your Savior.
Well, the only thing that really makes it through it, because there's the wood, hay, stubble, that when it gets judged, is completely consumed. The things that are worthwhile are the things that you did with the right heart, which separation of the sheep and goats, tending to the orphans, widows, feeding the hungry, visiting those in jail, that kind of stuff. Those who did it are brought to the right side of Christ, and they're called sheep. The goats who didn't do those things are brought to the left side because they didn't do those things.
So are they still in Christ, or those ones that are going to fall away?
Those are the ones that, in fact, he says that the goats are cast out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So if they're cast out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, I would not think that is with Christ.
No. Right.
That's outside of Christ.
Very clearly, right?
Yeah.
So it was in 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at those things which are seen, gold, silver, wood, hay, stubble, but those things which things are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. Why? Because he's going to burn them up. And the things which are not seen are eternal. Your faith in Christ. Right? We are going to be tried with fire. And it's not, like we said, somebody's cookout on a grill. It's God's consuming fire. It's the holy fire that he's going to burn things up. He's going to purify his people, and he's going to burn the wicked.
Isn't that what John the Baptist said that he was going to come do?
That's right.
He's going to baptize you with fire.
Has that happened yet, Jesus? What did John the Baptist say? Another come, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Has that happened yet?
I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Yeah.
We haven't been baptized with fire yet.
No.
I mean, I think my Bible literally, there's a fire coming.
So in the parable of the talents, the talents are handed out.
Yeah.
But we don't know till the end.
Right.
Where their heart is.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
That they're not talking that these are just handed out to Christians. They're handed out to everyone.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we see at the end, because he was afraid, well, he had a fear of God, or the wrong fear. He didn't know God.
Right.
So
he
was cast into weeping and gnashing of teeth, and that is not a place of
reward. I don't even like it. I don't know. But this is what they start all these different veins they have to chase because they don't take the word of God seriously. Let me give you a verse in Revelation 3:18. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that thou the shame of thy nakedness doth not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve,
saith, and mayest see. So what is the gold that we're told to purchase? Earthly? No, the heavenly. We could go on and on about this. I got so many verses that talks about, you know, God says he's going to burn their gold. So do you think that your silver, your gold is going to save you in the day of the Lord? No, it's not. I'm going to burn it up, and I'm going to burn you up that we're trusting in those things. Right?
The workers in the field got the same reward.
It's the same reward. It's all the same reward. How God delegates in his government afterwards over who is over many towns or cities or whatever, I can't remember how he puts it, that's up to him. That's not your reward on how good you were. That's just like Taylor was saying, this has already been predetermined by God on how many talents he was going to give Kevin. And you know what? Kevin's going to use those talents that God gave him.
It's up to what God already knows you can handle.
Yeah.
All right? He gives you what is, his severe ability.
Yeah.
Several ability.
Yeah. God gives that and he's going to reward it. It's
but
him the one who's doing
it. Up so that you have a better place.
That's right.
My motive is wrong.
But to say that he's going to line us all up and he's going to start saying, well, you get more than you get more than him. This isn't God.
Well, there's no competition in heaven.
Right.
Right? That's why Paul said, my works are as of filthy rags. Right. You know, and I don't think any of us in the modern Christian era has the works that Paul had. And he said, all of my works are as of filthy rags. They're nothing when it's compared.
That's right.
So the real reward that God is giving out is the opportunity to know him in his everlasting glory.
That's right.
Where we won't have to worry about the sun and the moon and the stars and all that stuff, because his glory, his light will be there. Everybody else, because I went back and looked at the sheep and goats, and they, the ones who were cast, the goats, all right, that didn't do the things that God had called them to, which both the sheep and the goats were expected to do the same thing, visit and care for the least of these, right? And these shall go away into eternal, everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal or everlasting, or life everlasting, life eternal, right? So the judgment and the rewards being, again, in Christ. That is the gospel. That's the good news.
And everything that comes with that.
And everything that comes
with that. That's right. It's singular. The word reward is singular for the believer, but yet it includes all of it. You know, Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield, an exceedingly great reward. He's the reward, and everything that comes with it is the reward. My resurrected body, heavenly Jerusalem, eternal life, Jesus Christ at the throne. That's my reward, and not rewards because Jake witnessed more people than I did.
Number four, different things that Christ gives us to the seven churches in the Revelation. Some are called to be a pillar that never goes
right
again.
Yeah, but he gives
a white stone. Yeah, he gives
it. Yeah. Right. It's not something I earned.
No.
Because I was better than Jim.
Right.
Because I was holier than Jim. That's not how God is.
When you get into that, I'm better than you, that brings a competition.
That's right.
There isn't a competition in heaven.
It's building up your pride and putting yourself on
it's
a false.
Right.
You're building yourself up on a false.
I'm so good because I did more. I handed out more tracks. Nothing wrong with tracking. But I handed out 5 more tracks than you did this week, so I'm better.
This is what Christian cult, the Jehovah Witness, the Mormons, this is what they do. The more people, it drives them.
Yeah.
And it's about me. It's about me.
It's clearly self-centered.
Yes, right? Just one more here. You can chase this. Chase the word reward. It's singular. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So that reward is Matthew 5:12, the Beatitudes, where he promises the kingdom of heaven, he promises on earth, and he says, great is your reward in heaven. It's not
It's he, God is the reward, but it's everything that comes with God. His glorious kingdom, his eternal life, his resurrected body. That's the reward, not a bunch of rewards. It's foolish. Are we okay? Can we want to move on, or you want to keep going here? Okay, so
I think we
go ahead.
I want to look at 1 Corinthians 3:18.
Okay.
Or let's see, 17:18. Yeah, that's what it was.
If any man defileth temple,
yeah,
God.
That's good, right? Hey?
Very good.
Okay, I'll read. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he take the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. That's very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but 17 kind of lays it out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this passage isn't like a say the prayer you're locked in, which
right.
is used as a lot.
Right.
But if you look at 17, that, you know.
Clearly, right?
Yeah.
And like you said, too, Gail, you said, we're going to work to the end. Yes, and like me and John were saying, you know, this idea, what they're doing is they're saying, this is what Catholicism does, that you are working towards heaven, that I'm putting my works in front of me. I hand out tracts because I think I'm really greater reward than Wendy. That's not how it works. I hand out tracts because I love him.
Right.
I live for him.
That's right.
Exactly. The works are your fruit, are the fruit. That drop off the tree, that are on the tree, those are the fruit, but you have the fruit first, and then, right? The
right.
leaf comes
yeah.
first.
Right, that's love for you, it does a copy.
Right.
Right,
yeah, exactly.
So,
exactly.
Doing all this gold, silver, precious stone work, you know, because I think I'm going to be better than somebody else, is the competition. I worked harder to get here. Again, I think you brought it up, Paul, the folks who were called out into the field.
Right.
Well, we suffered the hardness of the time. I worked harder than those last folks who were called, so I deserve more.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No, they all get the same
reward.
They
same
all
reward.
Got the same payment.
Right.
And so...
And think what this does, Curtis, if we're all in heaven and Rory's going to get more than you, this pits one against
right.
each other.
And then we can't walk in unity.
Right.
We can't walk in love because it's a competition. You look at those who go into the competitions, right? Football, hockey, baseball, boxing, wrestling, whatever. I'm better than you because I beat you.
That's right.
Whatever this
God
thing
is. No
is.
Respecter of person.
That's right.
Right. You know, so if we as Christians think that we're going to get more than somebody else because I was better. I was better than Paul. I was, still worth it. We're comparing ourselves on the wrong, we're grading ourselves on the wrong level.
That's right.
Our reward, and the only reward that we ought to be seeking is the right relationship with God. And we can have that eternal life right now. Right? As I remain in the vine, as I walk in charity, as I, we're going to be looking at provoked and not easily provoked. Provoked has two ways.
Yes.
I got to stop. Exactly. So there's this idea that if I work harder, if I teach more Sunday school,
yeah.
if I read my Bible more, if I witness more, that makes me more pleasable to God than the person who just simply hung on the cross
right.
and said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom."
Yeah.
And I think the scripture is very, very clear. That our eyes are going to be on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not
yes.
anybody.
Yeah.
Not looking next
right.
to us or looking. If we are never supposed to compare
mm-hmm.
ourselves. So, yeah, I just want to say it's never the intention.
Right.
It's always to
yeah.
keep our eyes on
And if it is the intention, then you miss the
blessing.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Then you would be saying, Lord, Lord, have
you
not?
You stumble with that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That. You know what?
There's a lot of. Oh, I know.
It's not just the Jews. There's a lot of Christians that are stumbling at this.
It's because they misinterpret the scripture from first Christians.
It's the flesh, right?
If you only read those first verses about 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, you only read those verses that we read, would Hayes struck gold, silver, precious stone, right?
Yeah.
Or would Hayes stone? All right? We look at that as personal works. Well, my personal works, they're gold. Because I did so much, or they're stubble because I didn't do so much. We're only supposed to do what God gave us to do.
That's right.
Right? And as long as we invest, this guy who was cast out in the talents and was cast out with his weeping and gnashing of teeth, all he had to do is the least. He own up and live his life for Christ.
There is also the scripture in Hebrews.
Yep.
That they suffered, that they may obtain a better resurrection.
Yes.
It does suggest that there is some, not between each other, but in the sight of God.
What's the better resurrection? The resurrection of the damned or the resurrection of the blessed? Which is the better resurrection?
The blessed.
The blessed.
That's not how I look at it. They are being tortured that they might obtain a better resurrection. You don't have to be tortured to be
resurrected the same way the tortured are.
Is it
that which is better? I'm not trying to shut up because I'm in no way trying to be argumentative.
It's a good.
This isn't like a doctrine I'm trying to.
It's a good discussion that we're having. But as you said in the they suffered persecution for a better resurrection. Jesus said, if you follow me, you will be persecuted in this world.
Right.
If you don't follow me, you won't be persecuted in this world. All right? I added the second part. It's the other side of the coin. All right? So in that persecution, I expect to be resurrected with Christ because I suffered and I died and I bled for him. And my promise is that I'll be with him. Those who chose not to, and Jesus died for the sin of the world. So the one that doesn't accept him has the same opportunity to accept him as the one who did. They have the same opportunity for the same resurrection. But if you don't trust him up to the point of death, then you lose the resurrection of the righteous and gain the resurrection of the unrighteous, which is the better. Between the two.
Are we not all his body? Are the persecuted and the ones that aren't persecuted are his body?
Are we not part of the
people that are being persecuted?
Yeah.
Are we the ones we're praying for? Are we not part of that body?
Yeah.
So let you tell me which one of these are a better resurrection. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all are in grace shall hear his voice. And some shall come forth that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Which one of those two is a better resurrection?
Well, the word better to me, shows something that's not a diametrically opposed thought, where, hell and damnation is not good, but this is better. Better suggests there's some level here. It does suggest that.
So once again, your moral teaching rewards for someone you got.
So if I don't suffer any persecution, right, in my life, and I just live a life that's blessed of God, and I never suffer anything, and I die, does that mean I get a lesser resurrection than these two women who were just put in prison and possibly die
all
in
prison? Once,
really.
And I think that's what I would say. There is not a doctrine I'm trying to defend.
Right.
Not at all. I'm just saying, here are some scriptures that made me feel a little like, that doesn't quite fit what I feel like you're saying.
And what
it doesn't mean you're wrong.
The tension of the church has always been through the ages.
Yeah.
This doctrine is not here. This is a big doctrine.
Yeah.
Really, there's always been that, what is it,
I've got to work harder than you, or I've got to suffer more than you.
Well, that's clear.
The whole thing about
beating
themselves with rods, because they think they're going to get a better resurrection. All right, so, or let's just bring it back to our level playing field here. These people who have been imprisoned all throughout the world, persecuted burning cages, are they going to have a better relationship with God in the resurrection than Americans that never suffered the children?
Is there anything in heaven that there is a, oh, what's the word I want? Not a hierarchy, because Jesus Christ is it. Any sense of role, different roles?
Well, kind of elders around the throne. That's the distinction of a group.
There's an angelic order.
Yeah, that's an angelic order. That's
right.
In the human order. So that would be one question. I don't have the answer, but I don't know. But is there some sense of a role in heaven that might be impacted by how much was...
Well, he calls us kings and priests.
He
calls us kings and
this
priests.
These are the subjects that churches don't touch on. And that's why we're here.
The apostles are going to be the pillar, or
the pearl
gate, right? The pearl gates represent the 12 apostles. Right. And then there's foundation stones or all that kind of stuff. So is there a hierarchy in heaven? Or is there a hierarchy in damnation?
That's a poor word only because Jesus Christ is the head, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Well, even in the kingship on this earth, there's the king, but then there's dukes.
Right.
There's princes, there's...
But that's not what... Once again, that's not how good we were in this earth.
Right.
That's our dispositions handed out by Christ during his kingdom.
Yeah.
Okay,
so the word better is in a whole lot of places in Hebrews. And they tend to say it means advantageous or useful or excellent. Not better.
Better, yeah. Somebody not putting one against the other.
So here's a view here. Who then is that faithful and wise servant whom the Lord will make him ruler over his household? That's it. His household. To whom he giveth in due season. Blessed is that servant when the Lord cometh he finds so doing. Verily I say unto you, he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Those are the positions. You're in control of 10 cities. That's not something you were rewarded because you were martyred. That's the positions handed out by God in his theocracy, in his kingdom. But to say that somebody, look, when I'm resurrected, it's no one different than your resurrection. If you got martyred tomorrow, and I lived till 90, and Christ resurrected us both, is your resurrection any better than my resurrection because you were martyred?
That's the question.
One thing
that we're not looking at is that there is more grace given to those who are suffering. That are going through something, and that takes, I think the more comes in the suffering rather than in the reward. I think it's happening in the time.
Oh, amen, right. Because God gives more grace where grace is more
ability.
Right.
He gives.
The dross has to come up and has to be, and that can only be done with fire, right?
Yes.
Revelation 21, verse 7. It says, he did overcome.
He
did overcome and shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
Something to the effect that if somebody walks away, somebody that you brought, you'll lose your reward, but you'll still be saved. We went through that in Bible study, I think about a year ago, 2 years ago.
And I think we were in 1 Corinthians going over that. We're talking about, Paul said, unless I preached in vain, if they fell away, then his work that he put in them would disappear.
You'll still be saved.
Those who walk away wouldn't be saved.
Yeah, that's in 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 6.
Okay. Let's look at that. If you don't mind, Pete.
No,
this is going where God wants to go. I think I'm learning that.
Jesus gave the wheel, right?
First,
that's right.
First Thessalonians what?
Three.
Three. Eleven, 1 through 3. What verses?
1 through 6.
Okay.
Here's the whole thing.
All right, wonderful. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer, thank you, in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For ourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause I could no longer forbear, and I sent to know your faith, at least by some means the tempter have tempted you, and your labor being, and our labor being vain. But now when Timothy came from you to us and brought us to the good tidings of your faith and charity, that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also see you. So yeah, there's the laboring in vain, right? If anyone fall apart, fall away, then I put a lot of time into you and you walked away.
Yeah.
Right? That.
So we won't see them on the day.
Right, yeah, right. We won't see them at that resurrection. We won't see. And so we said, man, I labored 20 years in your life, hoping you, gathering you, teaching you, loving you, sheltering you, and then it was all for vain. Because that individual didn't walk with Christ.
That's right. Right?
And so he lost.
But obviously they were in Christ.
They were in Christ.
If they get out of Christ, then the labor's in vain.
Which brings that thought of 1 Corinthians 3:11 again. Right? I labored in you with gold and silver. I put the best into you. But you walked away. So that work was burned up as it was a strong stubble. Mm-hmm. But I was saved.
Right.
Right, I would say, because I didn't walk away.
Right.
If you walked away, I suffered loss, like I went through a fire. Mm-hmm. Because my labor that I put in you, my love that I put in you, you walked away from. And you were supposed to be part of my reward. Our salvation, we are His glory. We are God's reward. You know, so when Christ shows us to the angelic host, we are His reward. And He is our reward. He looks at us and says, yeah, I saved that old dirt ball down there. Yeah, he wasn't worth it, but I died for him anyhow. And He accepted that payment. And so that's praise God, right? Go ahead.
Yeah, there's another mention of that by Paul in Philippians. Chapter 2, verse 16 says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain.
Run in vain or labored in vain.
And he's talking about the believers there.
So, and we are that reward, because we're together. I mean,
that's right.
The reason that we teach the way that we teach here in building up the church, the individuals in the body, is because I don't want to miss any of y'all in heaven. And you want to know what breaks a pastor's heart? I mean, really just crushes him? When you labor and sweat and cry and pray and spend your life into somebody else, and they just throw it away. They just walk away. And I tell you, there's no... I mean, it's like a divorce. I love you, but I'm leaving. Right? I can't tell you how that burns.
Yeah. Let me give you a verse. Isaiah 40:10 says, behold, the Lord will come with a strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and before His work before Him. Mm-hmm. So the reward is like you said, him, us together in his kingdom, and
what was that, Jake?
That's Isaiah 40:10. There's more. We can keep going on with the rewards.
I think another passage that Paul shows how important that idea was to him is in Acts 20. Or, let's see, Acts 20:28, I think.
While you're going there, let me give you another. Isaiah 62:11 says, "Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, saying to the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him."
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, whether you're martyred or you live to 90,
right,
the view is the same in God's eyes. It's the reward you get for being faithful.
It is, yeah, I agree there.
Right, right.
In,
did you want to?
Yeah, Acts 20:28 down through.
I'm sorry, Jake, where 20?
20:28?
Yeah, starting in 28.
But it goes way down.
Well, at one point he says he prays, how he prays for him.
Yeah.
I'll start reading it. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know that this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. You know, bringing deception,
right,
false teaching. Also of your own selves shall men arise, even within people within the church, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So, wow.
Yeah.
He's so concerned about them being led astray.
Right.
Why? Because his labor would be in vain.
Yeah. I work daily.
In their scripture, the judge will say that the blood is on your hand if you did not try. If you did not reach out, their blood will be on your hand.
Right.
If you did,
you should do, the white gun on the wall, Ezekiel.
Yeah. If you give the warning, the blood is not, doesn't mean your heart is there.
If you go to two verses before where I started, it says, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So he talks about being guilt. You know, if you don't share, you're guilty.
Okay, so
I'm just going to interject here a second. 1 Corinthians 14:15, it didn't say reward, it said suffer loss.
Right, yes.
Okay. But it says, if any man's work abideth and he buildeth upon, which he hath built upon, and he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself should be saved, yet so be I here.
And you will be in the presence of Christ.
Right.
All of them will be in the presence of Christ.
Well, the way I think that Alan just, what he just read.
14 and 15.
This is 1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians?
3.
3.
3:11, 13, 14. Figure any one of us. Right. All of them, right? And so, 1 Corinthians, we're still back, or we're back there. But every man's work's manifest. This is what Alan just read. If any man's work abide, all right, so I'm working in the gospel. And if you abide to the end, you will be my reward, right? I will be Christ's reward. We will be rewarded together in that. But if somebody walks, if any man's work is burned, so I'm working in you, working with you, leading you to Christ, you turn away, you're burned. Did anyone ever watch that show, The Burn Notice? All right, it's about a spy that got away. There's a burn notice put out of because he left the way of the spy wall. Right? So there's a burn notice, but it was a very common thing in the sacred world scene. Now, when we walk away, we're burned. If any man has tasted the goodness of God and walk away, he suffers loss. He is burned. So anyhow, any man's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But that he himself, the one who witnessed to him, the one who stayed fast, the one who planted the seed, I'm going to be saved, as yet so by fire. Right? I'm going to be saved. The one who walked away, he's going to be burned. I'm going to suffer loss by fire. If my preaching and I don't see you in heaven, I'm going to suffer loss.
Here's my brother, fiery trial that is going to test your faith. Is going to try it.
So, you know, 16 and 17.
Yeah.
Lays that out. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy.
Right.
The temple ye are.
Yes. And see, so we can't take 11 through 15 without adding 17 to 18 with it.
Yeah, you gotta add 16
to
17.
Well, there's 17. That famous passage, Hebrews 6, 4 through 6.
Amen. And then again, yeah, Hebrews 10 says the same thing.
Hmm. Okay, so Revelation 8:11-18 to 7, the last verse. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come in a time of the dead, that they should be judged. And thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them that destroy the earth. So that to me seems the reward is to the saints, the prophets, and all them that fear his name.
Yes.
Which is everybody. Whether you've been martyred or whether you died at the age of 90.
Yes, we're all
going to
know
the
presence of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
So
the
prophets are like the 5 gallons, and
we're
the 2 gallons.
Now, these 7 gallons, these are things that he gave us.
Right.
So these are the things that he is going to use through us. He is going to, whatever he sows, he's going to reap.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't give me 1 gallon and I reaped back 10. He's gonna reap the 1 talent that he sowed into the ground to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's what I say. The only things, so God, when Christ comes, he's gonna burn things up. And the only thing left is your faith in him. Everything else is hay, wood, stubble, gold. You know, there are so many verses that say, you know, these people are gonna trust in their gold in the last days. And God said, it's not gonna save you. Right? Okay.
We have to remember the talents aren't what we have received. It isn't who came to Curtis.
No.
It's how many times you've spoken the word of God.
That's right.
Okay?
Right.
That's right.
It's how many seeds did you plant?
That's right.
I'm not here to harvest.
Or where did you water?
Yeah,
but look at how many people Noah brought in.
Yeah. Amen. Well, and look at this. I just experienced this the other day. I planted a lot of seeds. And they all came up, they started growing, and guess what? They all died.
I noticed weeds are coming up with by plants there.
And so in that, you know, I cared for those seeds, I tended to those seeds, I babied those seeds, I put the right love and compassion into those seeds. And then I made one silly mistake and left them outside for a night. And guess what? They died.
The frost came.
Well, the living frost are just cold, and so they're tender little babies.
Are we good? You want to move on, or right? We're good. Does this make sense now? Okay. And that's what I mean, Wendy, when I say I realize that people say, "Well, I've never been taught dispensationalism." I guarantee, if you are any student of the Bible, if you've gone to any church, you have most likely been taught.
Yeah.
Whether you know it or not. You most likely, because it has permeated since the 1900s, it has permeated Bible colleges and pastors. So somebody gets saved, and the first thing they say is, I want to be a pastor. So they go to Bible college, and the Bible college says, Amanda, you don't need that anymore. We got these books here that you're going to need. And this is what's being rammed down our throat. And to me, this what we would associate with fundamental Christianity Calvary Chapel, Chuck Missler's, John MacArthur, we would associate them on the same page with them. But they're teaching heresy. They're teaching a doctrine that is not a biblical doctrine, and it's not a doctrine of Christ. It's outside of the realms of the scriptures here. And whenever I get a chance to expose it, I'm going to expose it, because there's people listening too. And I don't know who's listening. I know we have a small group here. And what I've noticed since I've been here is the more we're dedicated to this, we're losing people.
Amen.
We're losing people.
I was just thinking it was interesting when you were bringing up the crowns before, and then how we talked about how Jesus Christ is our reward. And I had always been taught, well, you're going to throw your crowns down before him, and if you don't have any, then shame on you. But if Christ is our reward,
you can throw it away?
Yeah, Revelation 3:11, right?
Yeah.
It's like an old man steal that crown.
That's right. And so where do they get that from? They get an idea from Revelation 4, mm-hmm. where the 24 elders are throwing the crowns.
It never says the church.
That's right. They're not humans.
Right.
They're not even humans. Yeah. And we'll get into that when we get into Revelation. They're not humans. The representative, 12 plus 12 is 24.
Yep.
It's government. And we can go on and on.
We'll get into that. You also have to remember that when you're in heaven, there is no more weeping, no more crying.
Right.
It's
no
right.
more fear. All right?
Right. Wow. Right.
Why was somebody going to look at you and go, shame on you?
Yeah.
Well, all right?
But Amanda nailed it. This is what caught me, Amanda, is when I started realizing this, I started saying, wait a minute. If I'm casting my crown to him, I'm giving up my salvation. That's what's really going on here.
Great reward, right?
That's right.
Jesus was talking to his disciples when they were arguing with each other. He says, the Gentiles rule over one another, but not so with my church.
That's right.
Not so with you guys. Amen. You're not supposed to rule over each other. There's no competition here.
Amen.
You're not going to get more than me, and I'm not going to get more than you.
Well, that's what 1 Corinthians 3 speaks about, because Apollos, I was brought in by Apollos, and one by Paul.
Yeah.
And you said, listen, one's going to water and one's going to feed, and you know what? You're all the same.
The same.
But, and James brings it up all the time. Yeah. Take your crown. Somebody can take your crown. Doesn't mean they take it. Now they're saved and you're not. No, they're not saved either, but they took it from you.
Right.
Right? So then you're not even saved. And plus, you see in Revelation that when Christ comes, he has both books, just like he does at the great throne judgment. And when he's here at the judgment seat, he's blotting people out. He's blotting them out. And he's also writing people in. Same thing, but when he gets to the great white throne judgment, he's got the book of life. He's not blotting people out. They're already blotted. And he's basically going, well, they're not in there, so let's go to these books.
Right.
Right?
I think one thing that would be that I would like to clarify is that it's all semantics, right? So when you say, is everybody on board? What that means now, from going forward, to me, is do I understand what you are teaching? Yes.
Are we ready to move on? Did I give you...
Did you agree?
Did I agree?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, can we move on now, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
And did you get enough... So we say we're Bereans. Did we give you enough information to go be a Berean and study this for yourself if there's still a Berean?
And that's what I would say from now on. Yeah. That's how I'm going to... Because you asked a question. You said, Wendy, do you get this? Or something like that.
I said, are we ready?
Well, there was one time that you did.
Yeah.
But
I don't think you can get an offense to that. I'll say it's that reason. What I'm saying is,
can we be
Berean? I feel compelled to say, no, I don't agree. But I do understand your teaching. From now on, I'm going to take away whether I agree or not and just say, I understand your teaching.
Yeah.
Boom.
You know what? Again, all I'm trying to do here, I'm not trying to convince you of anything I'm saying. I'm just asking you, we say we're Bereans, well, go be a Berean then.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Well, you want to be how we check your permits.
Yes.
In our reading throughout the week, if the Holy Spirit isn't confirming what you're saying,
that's right.
Then either we're not reading
If I'm trying to convince you of something, I'm no different than they are.
Because if we are studying truth, the Holy Spirit will verify that.
That's right.
Somewhere during the week.
Right.
In your regular readings. Right. You might be reading somewhere in Nehemiah, right? And you'll say, well, that adds up with what we're just
That's
talking
right.
about. You know, yes, you, yeah. who knows where you're at in your personal Bible, but I do hope that each of us are reading somewhere in our Bible all week. Somewhere? Anywhere?
I think we're a pretty solid group of students.
Yeah, we are, yeah.
I mean, you guys are overwhelmed. I've been reading so much that I've caught my head about you guys. I mean,
good evening.
He's got more stuff to read.
Just
know.
And that's just there, Rory. And that's all I want people to do is read your Bible. Study your Bible. Don't just read it. She sends me Pure Bible Software website all the time. Get the software. Study the Word of God. You know, don't just read it. Study it. Chase words. God uses specific words for specific reasons. He doesn't mince any of them. They're there for a reason. Chase those words for the Bible. I think what we do is, it's such a big book that we go, well, I got to move on.
Yeah.
But if you take a word, you chase it through the Bible, He will open up knowledge to you like you can never get. Okay, now, are we ready to move?
Yeah.
Well, we're just, I mean, we're just...
Only 40 minutes.
Yeah. You know, we're just... If it took us 5 weeks to get through Armageddon, we're just going to take our time. Because there's a lot. There's a lot to the judgment seat of Christ. There's the judgment seat of Christ. There's the day of judgment. There's the hour of judgment. There's the book of life. And then there's His throne of glory. So there's at least five parts to this, and...
If we can circle back around, because I was always taught to be the seat of Christ for the church and the other judges.
And we're going to look at it. That's why we're going to do these individually.
And as I've gone through the script, I've never seen Bema
be another made up word
in the scripture. Yeah. You know, they say that this word might mean that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not in the scripture at all?
No.
There's no
Shekinah glory is not in your Bible.
Yeah.
If you know what Shekinah, if I told you what Shekinah glory was, you would get up here and slap me across the face. It is a female spirit. I'll just leave it at that. Okay? And plus, the Bible also doesn't call it the Holy of Holies.
Right.
If I told you that was, you'd get up and slap me in the face. Because it goes with Shekinah, a female spirit. It's called the most holy place.
Right. The most holy place.
And what they call the Shekinah glory is called the glory of God. They're two different things.
Right.
See, they mince words.
Where's Bema fit into that? I mean,
they made it up.
It's made
you know, I got a toilet at my house. It's called the Bema. It's called the Bema.
You must have a pretty judgment seat of Christ, being seat of Christ, not say.
It's not
a biblical word.
It's not a biblical word.
Does it describe judgment?
Well, I mean,
we don't know what it describes, but I know. Here, Roy, let me put it this way. Tell me what this describes, the judgment seat of Christ. I don't need to call it a bema, right?
Yeah.
It's the judgment seat of Christ.
Well, rapture's not mentioned.
Right.
Rapture's not mentioned.
Well, bema would soften it up.
It's where we start interpreting those other translations.
I literally have a toilet at home, and it's called bema.
Right.
I'm like, that can't be a coincidence.
It takes the place of thrones?
Right. I mean, these aren't coincidences. They're mocking. Okay, so we'll just get started. Go ahead, Dan.
I got to go back to 1 Corinthians 3 again.
Okay, let's do it.
I think this is where many of we misunderstand. I have always misunderstood this. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved.
Yeah.
But it's talking about, like, it curses work of speaking, pouring this blood, sweat, and tears in, shall be burned. If that work shall be burned.
Yeah.
And then he'll suffer loss.
Yeah.
He'll suffer that loss.
Mm-hmm.
But you.
Yeah. Amen.
And that
the loss is the loss of beings in this world.
And that's what people think.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that's just the revelation.
Yeah.
So, and I've come to know just today, through that, thank you, Wendy, for bringing it up, that, my work here in our work here is to glorify God in everything that I do. So I invest time, I invest effort preparing scripture, memorizing things, making myself approved unto God, and I pour that into somebody else's life. And they sprout up for a moment, then they walk away. On the day of judgment, I'm going to be looking for you. You're not there. I'm going to miss it.
But you did. I did your talent.
I did my talent. That's right. I did my thing. I'm
that's
there.
That's right.
Right? Or you're there. Or if I fall away. Right?
Right?
And all the, you know, it's, he is saved as through fire. Right? But his work, what he invested in other people, was lost.
Yeah. Noah.
Amen. Noah. Right? Amen. Great. How he preached righteousness and he loved and he cared for those Nephilim, right?
Yeah.
All those people, all that evil. He loved those people. And he prepared a place by the word of God for them. And when God shut the door, he lost. I mean, all that work that he did in those people's souls, all the love he poured out in their hearts.
So when you look at 14 and 15, you see soul win.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. Alright?
Are you sure?
Yeah. Can we?
We got like 7 minutes.
Yeah, but I just want to set a basic. And if we keep going back, we're going to have 4 minutes. let's just get through. I just want to show you something here before we really get into the judgment.
Right.
But I want to show you that these things are a one-day event.
Okay.
I'd say 24 hour. I know you probably think it's shorter. And that could happen.
Yes.
That's happened before.
Yes.
So, but these are literally a one-day event. So how could all these things happen in one day? So we'll start there, and then next week we'll really get into the judgment seat of Christ. I just want to show you how these are one-day events. Gala, Isaiah 29, 5-7. Dave, Isaiah 30, 12-14. John, Isaiah 66, 1-10. Jake, Zephaniah 1, 14-18. Alan, Romans 9:24-29. We'll go in that order.
Romans what?
9:24-29. So we're looking on how quickly these things can happen.
Okay, Isaiah 29:5-7. Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones shall be as chaff that passeth away. Yea, it shall be at a time, it shall be at an instant suddenly. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and great noise, with storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fire. And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and her munition, and that distress her, shall be as a dream of a night vision.
Right there. Go ahead, Dave.
30:12-14.
What is it? Where is it?
30:12-14.
Okay.
Yeah, Isaiah. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach, ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly and at least. And he shall break it as the breaking of a potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a shard to take fire from the hearth or to take water without out of the fish. 66:1-10. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth
an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burned incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I will also choose their delusions, and will bring their tears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word, your brethren that hated you, that cast you out of my name, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord, that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth, before her pain came, she was delivered from a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth, and not cause to bring forth? Saith the Lord, shall I cause to bring forth, and shut the womb? Saith thy God. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her. All ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her. All ye that mourn for her.
Zephaniah 1:14-18.
Okay.
Yeah. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near, and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land.
We got Romans 9:24-29. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he should saith also, O see, I call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, I gotta pull that back a little further, ye are not my people, then there shall be called the children of the living God. Esaias also crieth concerning Israel, through the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, and a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work, and he will cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Elias said before, except the Lord of the Sabbath and left the Sabbath had left us a seed, and we had been as the Sodom and had been made unto Gomorrah, thank you.
Okay, so Hebrews 11, or keep going here. Hebrews 10. Look what it says in 37. For yet a little while, and he shall come, and he will not tarry. Yet now the just shall live by faith, that if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So we're Revelation 1. We're going to go to Revelation. Revelation 1. What he says, 1:1, right off the bat there. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto show unto his servants, things must shortly come to pass. and he sent it and signified it by his angel and his servant, John. He also says it somewhere else here. Verse 3, blessed is he that readeth and he that heareth the words of the prophecy, of this prophecy, keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. 13:7. Oh no, that's 1:13. I'm sorry. 1:13. Amanda, you want to read that?
Revelation 1:13.
Yeah.
And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one led unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle.
2:5.
Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent.
2:16.
Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth.
Okay, 3:11 says, behold, I come quickly, hold fast to that which thou hast no man, take thy crown. 11:13-15. And the same hour there was a great, the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were afraid and gave glory to God of heaven. And the second woe is past, and the third woe, which is the last woe, the seventh trumpet, the last trumpet, cometh quickly. 22, Revelation 22. This is what he just said in Revelation 1:7 that started off the book of Revelation. He says the same thing. He said to me, these saints are faithful through the Lord, and the Lord of the holy prophet sent his angel unto show unto his servants the things that must shortly be done. Verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. So, you know, I did want to get that out of the way today, and we're going to start looking at the judgment. And like I said, to me, this one day, it could be a shorter day. It's been done in the past in the Bible. It could barely happen again. But it's a one-day event. It's not a seven-year period, and it's not a thousand-year period. These things, when they start to happen, boom, they happen quickly.
God did in the creation.
That's right.
On the fifth day, what did he do? All this water, fourth day was from the fifth day. Yeah. Was stars, right. So he made every star in the heavens in one day.
That's right.
Quite a big job he did in 24-hour period. All of the animals that were in the sea and everything that was a winged bird, all the time. Every species of fish that has ever been in the water, he did on one day.
And he's got a pattern.
Right.
Did he need 6 days to create? I mean,
no.
He could have did it all like that,
right,
in one day. He's got a pattern of things that we have to follow through the Bible.
Yeah.
6 days he shall labor, you know.
So
the seventh is the Sabbath.
It's just what he can do in a day.
That's right. So that's why I say, Kurt, so to me, what I notice is, well, I think people that we would consider our brothers and sisters, they struggle understanding that these things can take place in one day. But clearly they are going to.
The Day of Atonement is Yom Kippur.
That's right.
It's the same word in the first 6 days.
Yes. That's right. And
then
you said,
one day.
There are seven feasts. Four have been fulfilled.
Yeah.
The connecting feast is Pentecost, the early grand angel lettering. There's three more feasts that are going to be fulfilled, and they just all seem to happen at the same day.
Well, actually, on the calendar, they happen in the same month.
That's right.
All those last 3 feasts.
Well, when you look at them, they literally take place on the same day.
Yeah.
Atonement and Tabernacles are like 5 days apart. But when you understand the year of Jubilee, now you realize that they all come together on the same day. That's why we look at the feast. So that's why I say we're going to see that. We're going to see that, I believe, because when he appears, there's a resurrection.
Yeah.
Clearly. Well, the judgment seat says the heathen are going to be raised at the judgment seat. Raised.
That's a resurrection.
All right.
Well, but there's three or four.
The earth gives birth.
Yeah. Woman. Two women. Yeah. Two women are going to give birth that day. Heavenly Jerusalem, Mystery Babylon.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Lord, you're wonderful. You are absolutely so wonderful. Teaching us the Word of God, Lord. It is only the Holy Spirit that could teach us these things and settle these things in our heart, Lord. Thank you that Jesus became the Word and that I can open up this Bible and read about Jesus daily. Lord, thank you that we have not put our trust in mankind, but in you, that you will guide us through the Holy Spirit teaching these things. And Lord, like I said before, if I preach something or taught something in error here, correct me and hold it not against my brothers and sisters. But I think I see the unity that you're building here on the Word of God. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for being kind and merciful to us. I thank you for meeting us here this morning. And I pray for Curtis, Lord, as you give him the words to feed your sheep, Lord. Enlarge our hearts. Draw us closer to you even better today than when we came in here this morning, to leave a better person than when we came in here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Just a little more.